Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Zimmerman, the Custom Content Editor with Becker's Healthcare. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by our guest as we discuss patient respiratory and ventilation monitoring. We're thrilled to be joined by a fantastic leader from Masimo who will dive into our discussion today. Before we begin, I want to go ahead and introduce Michael Becker, Chief Nursing Executive and Vice President of Nursing for Masimo. Mike, thank you for taking the time today.
No, thank you for having me.
Great. So let's go ahead and get started here. Respiratory rate is the neglected vital sign, some would say. And why do you think this is, and what is the value of the parameter?
You know, that's it's a great question about why it's the neglected vital sign. And, you know, after being a nurse for a long time, more than 35 years, it really comes down to being able to take the time to listen to a patient's lungs with a stethoscope and really manually count those respiratory rates. And the issue is that everything else in the vital signs arena, blood pressure, pulse rate, temperature, is automated through some sort of technology and is highly reliable. And unfortunately, respiratory rate is not one of those. So there's so many barriers to accuracy, whether it's, you know, the technology and monitoring those patients, especially vulnerable patients like neonates or the elderly or the critically ill. And then after you get the respiratory rate, you have to be able to transfer that number into the electronic medical record. And we all know that there are lots of issues with transcription errors. So I think it's the neglected vital sign because it's the one that's the most time consuming to be able to take. And, you know, a lot of people say that if a person's breathing, it's an automatic 18 or 20 rather than counting the respiratory rate to understand the underlying issues around that. And then the second part of your question is that, you know, what is the value of the parameter of respiratory rate? And I think any nurse, respiratory therapist, healthcare provider, physician, nurse practitioner, et cetera, would tell you that respiratory rate is really a direct look into the patient's condition. And more often than not, if you get an accurate respiratory rate, you can add that to the piece of the puzzle as you're starting to put together the patient's condition to really make a solid prognosis or a diagnosis for the patient. So I think that respiratory rate is probably one of, if not the most important vital signs, and one, unfortunately, that is neglected more often than not.
Yeah, and that the neglected part of it, right, is even more troubling when you consider that the incidence of respiratory depression is increasing, right? So what best practices can clinicians use to prevent this, and how does Masimo technology assist with this?
Yeah, so agreed. I think in this day and age, there is an enormous incidence of respiratory depression that's increasing for, you know, a plethora of reasons. One is, you know, we're probably in the midst of the worst pandemic that we've ever seen in something with COVID-19 that really is affecting patients' respiratory status. But on top of that, prior to COVID-19, we were in the midst of another epidemic, which is opioid use, both prescribed and non-prescribed opioids. And we're having drug-related respiratory depression and deaths like we've never seen before. In fact, in certain states, you know, we're giving away Narcan to lay people to be able to use should they need that for a family member or a friend. So certainly the incidence is increasing. So what Masimo did, and I'm so proud of our company and actually have been really a part of a lot of the R&D pieces for the last handful of years, we've tried to automate the process of respiratory rate. And so we thought the best way to do that was to be able to come up with a sensor that not only was able to pick up rate, which is extremely important when you have someone that's hypoventilating, you know, has a respiratory rate of maybe 3 or 4 because they're obtunded or because they're over narcotized, or maybe it's that they're respiratory rate is very high, and they're really gasping for air because of some issue, and their respiratory rate is in the 30s or 40s, or for neonates, maybe it's in the 60s and 70s. And those are important pieces to the puzzle to be able to understand opioid-induced respiratory depression, you know, pulmonary compromise, severe pneumonia, et cetera. But also the fact that we were able to pick up this respiratory pause. And by that, I mean if end expiration to beginning expiration is longer than X, and, you know, you can decide what X is, but typically it's about 20 or 25 seconds. It'll also give you an alert so that you can see that the patient is stopping breathing for periods of time, and that's not good. And so maybe that's a precursor to respiratory compromise or to patient demise. So what we've been able to do is take technology, give you highly accurate respiratory rate through the use of a sensor placed on the patient's neck that literally listens to inspiratory and expiratory flow so that you not only get rate, but you also get a respiratory pause. And therefore, the clinician has two mechanisms to be able to interact on that patient to be able to get a care plan together or actually intervene before there's patient demise.
I'm really struck by your comments about the opioid crisis as well, right? It seems like we have two concurrent public health crises, you know, at once that are really increasing rates of respiratory depression. And I would imagine at that time, it's really important, you know, for providers to have access to sophisticated monitoring tools to help care for these patients. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a very fair assessment. And it, you know, unfortunately for healthcare providers in the hospital, you know, I always say you don't know what you don't know. So because drug addiction has such a stigma attached with it, and there's a lot of blue collar addicts in the world who are functional, but don't disclose because of fear. So when they come into the hospital for a pre-scheduled procedure, whether it's a colonoscopy or maybe it's a hip replacement or something, you know, even plastic surgery, they don't disclose that. And what happens post-operatively is these patients are either going through withdrawal and having severe pulmonary crisis and pulmonary and respiratory compromise, or their need for opioids is so high that we have to teeter on the edge of overdose of those patients because we just don't know how to manage their pain and we don't understand the process. So the ability to be able to automate respiratory rate and to be able to pick up respiratory pause through that acoustic monitor, or for patients maybe who have underlying pulmonary conditions, you know, they were a smoker in the past, or, you know, they have COPD, or maybe they were a transplant patient, the ability to be able to use capnography and to be able to get continuous monitoring of not only rate, but of CO2 retention is extremely beneficial, not only to the healthcare provider to be able to pick up on that compromise earlier, but how important is it to that patient who knows that even if I don't disclose to you that I have a drug problem, you're still going to monitor me very closely for respiratory compromise, and therefore I won't have an untoward event should something occur. So it's almost kind of a safety net piece to be able to automate respiratory rate and pulmonary monitoring as a way to really provide that highest level of quality care we can provide to all patients who may be at risk for pulmonary complications.
Yeah, some really important points there. And I want to zero in on the COVID-19 piece, right? So what kind of impact do you think COVID-19 has had in terms of monitoring a patient's ventilation?
Unfortunately, I think that COVID-19 has really brought in healthcare providers back to some basics, and that one is really the importance of monitoring respiratory rate and really understanding a patient's pulmonary status, not only on admission, but during their entire care process. And by that, I really mean is we have now noted that early on in COVID-19, there are certain pulmonary complications and respiratory diseases that are associated with that. But there's also a thing called this silent hypoxia that occurs with patients where their oxygenation drops because their respiratory status is compromised. And maybe they're not taking a deep breath. Maybe they're doing some pursed-lip shallow breathing. Maybe they're having these respiratory pauses. And it's given us a new appreciation for the power of respiratory rate on the prognosis and diagnosis of patients, not only with COVID-19, but with other disease processes as we understand them. But I think COVID-19 brought light to how we can pick up clinical deterioration, pulmonary status through the automation of the respiratory rate. I think the second piece of it is just because a patient is at home doesn't mean that we don't need to understand what their pulmonary status is. And I think telemedicine and monitoring of respiratory status outside of the acute care hospital setting is probably more important for patients now than it's ever been, because there's still a fear of coming into the hospital and contracting COVID-19. And more patients are being cared for in alternate care settings. And we need to understand how we can automate the respiratory status outside the four walls of the hospital. And I think the piece where the acoustic monitor or respiratory rate from the PLEF or from your pulse oximeter reading is extremely important when you're in an alternate care setting, whether that's an assisted living facility, a long-term care facility, or home with your family, but you would like to recover in a setting that's more comfortable. So I think it's really, it's provided healthcare a new appreciation of vital signs, especially related to respiratory status as we move forward.
Yeah, so and then thinking about these changes and sort of this renewed emphasis on getting back to the basics as it relates to vital sign monitoring, what do you see for the future of patient respiratory and ventilation monitoring? What do you see coming down the pipe?
I think it's pretty exciting. I think what we're going to see is an increase of non-invasive respiratory and patient care monitoring. So, you know, I'm an old ICU nurse. So when I think of ways that I used to monitor patients in the hospital, they were all invasive, right? They were arterial lines and central venous lines, Swan catheters, and other things, you know, that you really needed to be invasive and had their own set of issues related to them. I think what you're going to start to see is innovation in this space in using things like the acoustic respiratory monitor, that sensor that goes on the patient's neck, respiratory rate from the PLEF, where we can give you information just by monitoring, you know, their pulse oximeter and looking at that PLEF waveform to give you a respiratory rate. Looking at things that are typically been invasive in the past, like, you know, where you would have to send things to the lab, like a hemoglobin. And what is your oxygen carrying capacity and how we can do that now non-invasively? So I think Masimo has really been at the forefront of looking at those. But I think as we start to move forward into this new era, I think you're going to see really cool, novel technologies that emerge around pulmonary status, around oxygen reserve and how your lungs kind of hold on to some oxygen. What is oxygenation for certain organs of your body and how do we start to monitor them in times of severe illness or in organ failure? So I think each piece of the puzzle is starting to become more innovative as we look at non-invasive technology, but as we kind of go back to the basics of looking at things that typically a physical assessment could do, but now trying to use the power of automation to be able to take it to the next level.
Mike, I think that's a great place to end our conversation. I think having a little optimism right now is a good thing. So I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
I really appreciate it. It was great. I'm very excited about the future. I think I think the future is really going to be very good and innovative for healthcare as we move forward.
Great. Thank you so much, Mike. And also, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, Masimo. You can tune in to more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.